past year, and we will name some of those saints who were part of this family of faith later in the service. We're also grateful for some guests with us. In particular, Dr. Alpheus Zobule is with us from the Solomon Islands, a dear friend of this congregation. He and his family were part of the congregation for a good 4 or 5 years, and he has a wonderful Bible ministry going on in the Solomon Islands, and excited to share our partnership in the gospel with him today, and he'll be preaching. So thank you for being here with us. We also have Reverend Gershon Abasa with us, one of our two pastors who are here from Ghana, 17 years, a Presbyterian pastor himself. He'll be presiding at the Lord's table with me. And grateful to Sharon Freud, who is our guest organist this week. I'll note a couple things from the bulletin. Lots going on. One, after the service today, a couple opportunities for prayer. During the month of November and December, the prayer team has put together a list where they make sure they'll have two people up front on either side of the sanctuary for prayer, healing prayer, prayers for somebody else, and at the end of the service, after benediction, so forth, you can come up and just receive prayer from one of those folks from our prayer team. Also, that team prays in a larger group once a month after worship, and that is today, after the service, gathering about 12:30, and they'll be praying together in the chapel. Feel free, please, to join in that. And then later on, this coming week, Saturday, November 7th, is our next church cleanup day. Many of you are aware, we did a number of renovations and updates and so forth all summer long to this church property, and so there's a lot to clean up and clean out. And so we would love your assistance next Saturday morning. Check out the announcement in your bulletin as we try to pull the place back together. At this time, I invite you to stand wherever you are and greet some of the folks around you. Begin finding your seats once more. Together we'll prepare our hearts and minds to worship the living God.
Welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia.
Please stand for our call to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. In life and in death, we belong to God. Baptized into Christ's death, we live unto him. Come, let us worship God.
Once again, welcome to the live broadcast of a service for the worship of God, which is coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church at 1627 Monument Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. This is the 92nd year of radio ministry at Grace Covenant, and today's broadcast is number 4,762. The Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert is our pastor. This morning's sermon, entitled Partnership in the Gospel, will be delivered by Dr. Alphaeus Zobule, who is the founder and director of the Islands Bible Ministries in the Solomon Islands. Assisting in the service today are guest organist Sharon Freuda, the Chancel Choir, the Reverend Gershon Abassa, and the Reverend Mr. Robert Holm Lippert. Our church is handicapped accessible with an elevator, wheelchairs, hearing assistance, and large print bulletins and hymnals. Child care is provided for infants, toddlers, and kindergartners. Worship kits are available for older children at the entrance to the sanctuary. Our opening hymn is For the Beauty of the Earth, which is number 473 in the Presbyterian hymnal.
We see ourselves in light of God's love, in light of God's holiness, in light of God's light in Jesus Christ. We see we have failed to be reflections of that kind of love, that kind of holiness, that kind of light. And so we're drawn into this space of honest confession before our gracious God. Would you join with me praying the prayer printed in your bulletins? Eternal God, in every age, you have raised up men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to your will. You call us to proclaim your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, that joined with those from ages past who have served you with faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom you promised in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ assures us that as far as the east is from the west, so far have our sins been removed from us. They are nailed upon the cross, and in Christ Jesus, we are not only forgiven, but we are made new this very day. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, our children, 6 years and younger, who would like to go to Children's Chapel, can join Mr. James Atchison up front and follow him out. And Jim McCullough, I believe, is over there and actually will be the teacher. And then, parents, you can pick up your children after the service of worship.
Let us pray before we come to the Word of God. Dear God Almighty, the giver of Scripture, we thank you that you have given us your Word, and this morning we pray that may your Holy Spirit illumine us with your Word. This is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to the Word of God this morning. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I will read from the New Revised Standard Version that I have in front of me. Philippians 1, 1 through 11, it reads, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. I bring you greetings from the Solomon Islands. From my family, many of you know us. We left Richmond in end of 2007. I came back in 2008 to graduate. During the time we were here, we attended Grace Covenant, and so we still very much feel like we're part of this congregation. And we certainly thank you for all your prayers and support, and I bring you greetings from family, Sani and the children, and the ministry, Islands Bible Ministry, that we're involved in. There is so much happening out there in the Solomon Islands. The ministry is growing. We've been involved in Bible translation, and now we are building a Bible college in the Solomon Islands. There is a big need for that. And so I'd like to thank you for your support and your prayers. As I was preparing, when I knew that I would be coming to the United States to attend a conference, I decided that it might be a good thing to come and visit you. And when I knew that I would be preaching, I started to think about what to say. We've been praying for you, and I thought that maybe I should say talk or preach on something that is related to what you've been, you know, your involvement. You've been partnering with us in the gospel. In Christian ministries, we are often very busy. There's always this and that to do. And because we are so engaged with ministries, we often forget to spend quality time in prayer. That's as I was getting my notes ready, I was struck by Paul's prayer life. And I decided to focus on Paul's prayer life, especially when he prays for those who partner with him in the gospel. This is where we now turn to the reading that we just read. This reading, I'll break it down into about four parts. In the first part, verses 1 to 2, it's a basic introduction that you see in all of most of Paul's letter. But in the verses 3 through 11, the first part, verses 3 to 6, that's where Paul gives thanks for the believers. Verses 7 through 8, he considers believers very special, and we'll see why he does so. And verses 9 through 11, Paul prays for the believers' spiritual progress. And I'd like to go through this text and draw out a few things that we may learn from. The letter starts out saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. The letter is written to those in Philippi, in general to all the believers in Philippi, but specifically to the leaders in that church. Verses 3 to 6, that's where Paul gives thanks for the believers. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, having confidence of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There are three things about Paul's letter, prayer life that I'd like to highlight. First, he is a man of prayer. He demonstrates three basic principles that I'd like to note from this text. First, every remembrance of the believers is an occasion of giving thanks to God. Every time the name of a believer comes to mind, that is an occasion to give thanks to God for that believer. Principle number two that Paul demonstrates, praying for believers is a regular practice of the man of God or woman of God. Paul prays as and when he remembers. He says he prays always. He prays when he is prompted by the remembrance. He prays for the believers. Principle number three, every occasion of praying is a joyful event. Paul finds praying a joy. When the act of praying loses its joy, it also loses its intensity. It loses its freshness, its commitment, its regularity, its fervency, and its remembrance. Paul finds every occasion of praying a joyful event. The second thing about Paul's prayer life is that there is a cause for Paul's joyful thanksgiving and praying. And that cause, he'll tell us in verse 5, it is the partnering from day one with the believers in Philippi. I find this interesting. The Greek word koinonia, that many of you will know, is the word for partnership. That is the same word that is rendered in the same book, in other places, fellowship. But it's also translated as different other words, and I'm going to highlight. In the letter of Philippians, Koinonia fellowship includes partnering in the work of spreading the gospel. The word is partnering. Partaking in the sharing of God's grace. The word is sharing. That's the same word. Chapter 1, verse 7. Partnering with the Spirit. The word is partnering. Chapter 2, verse 1. sharing in the suffering of Christ. The word is sharing, chapter 3, verse 10. Sharing together in trouble as we spread the gospel, he says to the believers in Philippi, chapter 4, verse 14. The word is sharing again. And then finally, in chapter 4, 15, participating in the giving and receiving in the ministry. The word is participating. What I'm trying to show is that the word koinonia has a broad range of meaning. It's not just fellowship. It involves partnership, sharing, and other words that mean a similar thing. In this case, koinonia fellowship is partnership with God, with the Spirit, with believers, and that also involves sharing in the challenges and difficulties involved in sharing the gospel. So koinonia fellowship goes beyond fellowship meetings. It also involves active involvement in supporting the work of spreading the gospel. And it involves time and resource and energy and other ways of being involved in the spreading of the gospel. It is this practical involvement of the Philippian believers that gives cause or reason for Paul to give thanks to God. He is very joyful of the fact that the believers are involved in sharing the gospel. It is also this thing about you also here at Grace Covenant that I and those of us who are involved in the ministry out there in the Solomon Islands, we have that reason to give thanks to God for your partnership, for your sharing with us, for your praying with us. As I think about this, I recall that the last time we were here was 2007. We started attending this congregation in 2003, and by my count, that's about 12 years ago. What I mean to say is this, that we have been in fellowship for 12 years. We just haven't been meeting on a weekly basis. But we have been in fellowship. As long as we're involved and partnering in the gospel, in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have been in fellowship. And that's the reason Paul is joyful when he prays for the believers. And we too are joyful. Third, Paul prays with confidence, as it says in verse 6. Paul's thanksgiving comes from the confidence he has in the ability of the one who is behind all that he is doing. It is God who has begun a good work in the believers, and it is that God that Paul has confidence in. Paul has seen the partnership of the Philippians from day one until now, and Paul, as he thinks about it, he sees a greater and stronger partnership yet of God from the first day until the day of Christ. The believers' partnership has begun from day one till now, Paul says. But God's partnership has begun from day one till now, and it will continue until the day of Christ. That gives confidence to Paul as he prays. The second thing about Paul's prayer life, he considers believers very special when he prays. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me, he says. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. The reason Paul has a strong feeling for the Philippian believers is because they are very committed partners in the gospel. The believers partner with Paul in the midst of difficulties that he goes through because of the gospel that he is preaching. True partners stand with you when everybody else leaves. The Philippian believers stand with Paul in good and bad times. Paul says, "For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." When Paul is in prison, they are there with him. When Paul defends or confirms the gospel, they are there with him. Paul could say that God is his witness to his desire for them when he says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. The third thing about Paul's prayer life and how he prays is he prays for the believer's spiritual progress. Verses 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul prays for the believers' progress, and he prays that that spiritual progress will result in other things. First, he prays that the believer's love will overflow with knowledge and insight. In Paul's writing, the word knowledge often refers to the knowledge of God, knowledge of the mystery of Christ, and knowledge of the qualities that come from God. Paul prays that the believer's love would lead them to abound in their knowledge of God, that they will have the qualities of God, and also that they will know more of the gospel of Christ Jesus. And the word insight that is used here refers to practical, common sense, knowledge, insight, and experience. I believe what Paul is praying for here is that believers will increase in knowledge and depth of insight as they continue to know God. The second thing that Paul prays for when he prays for the spiritual progress of the believers is that he prays that the believers' increase in knowledge and insight will lead to their gaining the ability to discern and approve the things that matter to God. Paul prays for believers that as they grow in their love for God, they will be growing in the knowledge of God and their experience of Him. As they grow in the knowledge and experience of Him, they will gain more insight and discernment that will help them to be able to approve the things that matter to God. The third thing that he prays for is that the ultimate purpose of Paul's prayer for the believers is so that they may be pure for the day of Christ. Christians are not just living for today. They are living for the day that is to come, the day of Christ. But in order to be prepared for the day that is to come, Christians need to know how to live today. The kind of life that is prepared for the day of Christ is characterized by purity and blamelessness. The kind of life that is prepared for the day of Christ is that which evidences the fruit of righteousness, as Paul says. Let me conclude this short meditation this morning. First, as a church, we are involved in the partnering of the gospel. We are in the fellowship of the gospel. Second, prayer is vital in the partnership of the gospel. And third, our love for God must grow in knowledge and experience of God. And finally, we live not just for the day today, but for the day of Christ. We learn to recognize, to organize our life today in such a way that the day of Christ will not take us by surprise. I thank you for your fellowship in the gospel, and I thank you for your prayers and support and everything you have done. We are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You are listening to the live broadcast of a worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. You have just heard this morning's sermon entitled Partnership in the Gospel, which was delivered by Dr. Alphaeus Zabule. The congregation will now join in singing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, which is number 473 in the hymn book.
Thank you.
invite you to remain standing as we confess what it is that we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In response to the love and grace we have known in Christ Jesus, we offer our lives, and certainly part of our lives comes from our finances that have been entrusted to us. And so in this space of worship, you're invited to consider how you respond to God. Note that on the first Sunday of the month, all giving that's beyond our normal tithe and offering will go 50% to 5 cents a meal fund and 50% to loaves and fishes. 5 cents a meal is a Presbyterian fund that helps those in hunger and poverty. And the Loaves and Fishes Fund is a Grace Covenant specific fund that helps families in need around the Richmond area. If we learn of a need that we can help and take care of, we will do that with this fund. As well as the offering plates are going around, you all have your green communication cards and would invite you to let us know that you're here, and certainly let us and let the care team know if there are particular ways to be praying for you or giving thanks alongside you today. You're invited to give as you're led. Our gracious and holy God, we confess that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from you. We give thanks for the many gifts we've known, most especially we give thanks for the life and life eternal that we know in Christ Jesus. We ask that you take these, our tithes and offerings, as an expression of our gratitude and use them in ways that further your gospel, your good news, here in our city and to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'll invite Reverend Gershon Abasa to join me in presiding at the table. Gershon is a Presbyterian pastor from Ghana. We are grateful to gather at this table on this particular Sunday. As I mentioned earlier, it is All Saints Day, a day on which we remember the saints who have gone to be with our Lord, most particularly the saints who have gone to be with our Lord this past year. And at this table, we remember that because we are in Christ Jesus, we share this table. We have fellowship with folks from every generation, past, present, and future, who are in Jesus Christ. Folks of every tribe, tongue, and nation, baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, gather at this table by grace. It is an incredible family of God who shares this table. And it's not just a sharing with family, it is a sharing with Jesus Christ, who is the host and whose power nourishes us in this meal, that we might be those joyful, gospel-sharing people that we heard about from Philippians. Let us go to our God in prayer.
Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the salvation that you have given us. We thank you for this opportunity to share in the Lord's Supper. We pray that your Holy Spirit take charge and take absolute control. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
The same way he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant that I've given for you. Take, drink in remembrance of me." Amen.
The Apostle Paul tells us, as often as we eat of this bread and we drink of this cup, we proclaim our Lord's saving death until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and you're invited.
While the members and friends of Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church are being served the communion elements of bread and wine, let us turn to reflect on the significance of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is one of two sacraments, both of which are visible signs, instituted by Christ, of God's invisible grace. The first sacrament is baptism. Baptism signifies God's welcome of the individual into the household of faith. As such, it is a once-in-a-lifetime event. The second sacrament, the Lord's Supper, signifies and communicates God's continuing spiritual nourishment and support of believers. Thus, it is repeated frequently. Both of these sacraments are extensions of the Word of God read and preached, signs of the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ as proclaimed in the sermon. The communion service is at once a memorial of Christ's sacrificial death, a renewal of the spiritual relationship of believers with Him and with each other in the community of faith, and an anticipation of the great heavenly banquet yet to come. By this supper, we are brought into closer communion with God and with other Christians, not only those present at this particular service, but also with those in all times and places, those spread around the world, and those who have gone on before us, the great communion of all the saints. That is why the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is also referred to as communion.
Christ, oh Jesus.
The body of Christ broken for each of you. Take and eat.
As we continue our discussion of the nature and significance of the Lord's Supper, we note that there are at least three dimensions of the Lord's Supper as it is understood in the New Testament. First, the past action of God in Christ and our memory of it. Second, the current presence of the living Christ and our celebration of it. And third, the future kingdom of Christ and our joyful anticipation of it. So, when we eat the bread and drink the wine, we remember the broken body and shed blood of Christ on the cross. We depend on the risen Christ to sustain our lives today, and we look forward to the great feast in His coming heavenly kingdom. All three of these dimensions are important parts of the Lord's Supper. If we were to emphasize only the past, the supper would become a gloomy and faithless remembrance of the sacrificial death of Christ, forgetting that He also rose victoriously from the dead. If we were to emphasize only the present, the supper would become a sentimental victory celebration, forgetting the cost of victory, that the risen Christ is the one who was rejected by a sinful world, and who gave up His life for us. If we were to emphasize only the future promise, we would be celebrating a hope without remembering that Christian hope for the future is based on the victory of God in Christ, which has already happened, and we might fail to live joyfully, thankfully, and obediently in the present, in the strength and courage we are given now by the risen Christ, who is already Lord and whose kingdom is already on the way. As the supper concludes, we offer ourselves to Christ as He has already offered Himself to us. Having been reunited with Him, we are made ready to go out to fulfill the church's task in the world.
Blood of Christ shed for each of you. Take and drink. Let's go to our God in prayer. Our gracious and holy God, we give thanks for this meal. We thank You that we share this feast together with saints of every generation, of every tribe, tongue, and nation around this world who are found in You. We pray that until Christ comes again in victory and we feast visibly with every saint, that You would keep us, Your church, one in service to the world here and now, even as we pray for this world You so love. We pray that You would speak Your peace and act Your peace in this world where wars rage and violence seems to triumph. In particular, we want to lift You the people of Somalia and Iraq, Syria and Nigeria, Ukraine. We also lift before You our prayers for the health of all nations, that all people may flourish and know Your good news Most especially, we pray for the Solomon Islands. We give thanks for the people there. We give thanks for the island's Bible ministry that Alpheus leads and that ministers to so many. We pray that your Spirit would continue to nourish the people of the Solomon Islands with your word through that ministry. We pray that as that country faces a severe drought in these recent months, you would be faithful to provide rain, faithful to provide encouragement. Likewise, we pray for the people of Ghana and give thanks for the ministries of Samson and Gershon and ask your blessing on their families and their churches as they study here in Richmond for the year. In our own country, we pray for upcoming elections and for all people in positions of power over others' lives. May your will be done through them. We are mindful that in our midst there are those who grieve, there are those who are sick, those who are struggling to keep a job, to find a job, those who are wrestling with depression and angst. There are those who are hurting, Lord. We ask that your Spirit would be faithful to minister to them. May they know this day your comfort, your healing. May we, your church, be part of your comfort and healing to those in need this day. We now enfold our every prayer into the prayer you taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Mentioned earlier, today is All Saints' Day. It is a day we remember all the saints who have gone before and faithfully lived the gospel, carried the gospel, passed the gospel to us. And in particular on this day, we remember those who are part of this family of faith who have gone to be with the Lord in this past year. And so we're going to take a few moments to name those folks before God and offer a particular prayer. Would you join with me in hearing these folks named and then in prayer? Mary Tripp Chenoweth. Ben Gordon Jr., Frank T. Grove, C. Lowry Holt, Peter W. Albertus, Robert E. Brooks, Carolyn Pace Mayer, Gustav Marinius Heiss, Jr., Thomas A. Cutting, Eternal God, you have knit your people of all times and places into one communion in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for these saints of the church whom we have named before you. We give thanks for the way each of them ran this race faithfully and passed the good news of Jesus Christ along to us and this world. And we pray that you would grant us your Holy Spirit that we might be empowered to persevere in our leg of the race of faith until such time as we join the great cloud of witnesses. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us stand together as we sing For All the Saints. We will be singing the first four verses as printed in your bulletin. Three quick announcements before Alpheus offers a benediction. Last week, we had our Pledge Sunday, where you all pledged towards the ministry and mission of this church in 2016, and so grateful for the many who did. Some were not here and said, I still want to pledge. There are cards in the pews, pledge cards throughout, and you can take that home, mail it to the office, bring it by the office, put it in the offering plate next week in worship, but know that those are available through the end of this year. Second, I'll remind you, our prayer team, it will have a couple prayer leaders up here after the service of worship. If you just sense a need for prayer, for healing prayer, I really invite you to avail yourself to these folks. They have a gift for prayer, and it is a blessing to be prayed over by those kind of folks. They'll be up here right after worship for those of you who need prayer. And finally, right after the service, as always, we will be down in the social room for a time of fellowship, and you are invited to join in.
May the joy of the Lord be your strength as you go out into the world to serve Him. Go with the blessing of God. Amen.
For the past hour, you have been listening to the worship service at Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia. Please join us again next Sunday through our radio ministry or in our sanctuary at 1627 Monument Avenue. You're also welcome to join us each Wednesday night for our Wednesday night supper, which begins at 6 p.m. and is followed by a program at 6:30. Your announcer today has been John Harris, and the engineers were Phil Coltrane, Steve Kemp, Cameron Baird, Reagan McCullough, Ashley Spruill, and Nate McKinnon. This service streams live and can be accessed through the church website at grace-covenant.org. We now return you to Christian Talk Radio on WLES.